nuova emergenza di emergere dai margini. Ancora noi, ancora emergi. A new emergency to emerge from the edge. Here we go again.
Welcome everybody to Radio J-Up. This is the first episode of Emergy, where we get to explore the deepest ambience of music. We find new people with new music. They can offer a lot to us, even if they're not famous yet. Those are emergent people, and I think it's important for them to be known, and for music to get new people, to bring something new. So we're here with Ken Valdez. Hello, Ken.
Hello, hello.
Okay, I hope I pronounce it well enough. So Ken,
yes, yeah.
Yeah, we usually have bands and more than just one person in interview, you know. But this is a new thing, and this is good because we have everyone we need. We are face to face, so we can talk just about you, Ken. So, yeah, can you begin telling something about you, about how was your first approach to music and to the job of the singer and of the musician?
Sure. I guess it all kind of started when I was a kid, when I was very, very young. As far back as I can remember, there was music always going on in the house. My father was a drummer in a band, and so music was very, you know, prevalent. And I knew that I wanted to play music ever since I was a kid. I remember writing songs when I was a kid. I just kind of, you know, took to it a little bit later on in life. So I started singing later, much later, and I started playing guitar later in life. And, you know, it was just one of those things where I knew that this was what I wanted to do. I looked at my instrument and I just kind of said, well, this isn't going to learn itself. I taught. And, you know, just taught myself, if you will, and just started writing songs. It just kind of came to me. It was just something that I've always known I wanted to do, and I had it in me. So it was nice to actually do it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I see. So, Ken, just one question. Can you tell to the listeners where you are from exactly?
Yeah, I am living in Minneapolis, Minnesota, here in the USA. Yeah. Originally from Santa Fe, New Mexico, here in the US, but I've been making my home here in Minneapolis now for a little over a decade.
Okay, so this brings us to the second question. So about Minneapolis, is it a good place to make music, to grow up as a musician? Do you get many opportunities to make yourself heard, to play music, you know, live, or did you have some labels you could rely on, you know, to make your music be known and heard all over the USA?
Well, it's an interesting question because I would have to go back to Santa Fe originally, where I started. And the reason why I say that is because in Santa Fe, during the late 90s and early 2000s, there was this really amazing scene out there with original music and original, you know, you just singer-songwriters, bands, so on and so forth. And if there was ever like a cover band, for example, people would probably opt out of that to go hear original music. So it was nice, and it kind of lit that fire to be creative and to write and to go and do that. So that was my introduction, essentially, to the scene, to being a working musician, to being a songwriter. When I moved to Minneapolis, it was a little different. There was a lot of cover bands out here, so I was completely out of my comfort zone. What I can say about Minneapolis, though, is the players out here are world class. They are unbelievable players. So many of them, I know that many of your listeners have definitely heard and maybe even know. There's something for everybody here. So what I mean by that is, I mean, if you are into rock and roll, you got some great rock and roll bands. If you're into funk and R&B, there's some, you know, world-class funk and R&B players, singer-songwriters, blues, so on and so forth. Minneapolis is just this really wonderful breeding ground of amazing musicians and artists. And it's fantastic. So it's really nice to be out here and to have such great music.
Oh, okay, that's a very positive view. You know, I don't get to hear many times musicians complimenting other musicians like that, but it's good to hear it sometimes. So yeah, as a foreigner, this is particularly curious to me. I make this question to almost every people from the USA, especially. So, of course, you partially told us about that something before, but what is like making rock music, because that's what we're talking about in your case, sure. Rock music. What's like making rock music in the USA in those times? I think we can agree. Well, I think so. There's way too much pop, for example, in this period in the United States rather than rap, and maybe talking about younger generation, pop is even more popular than country, which I know it's a, I think, but I heard it's a very popular genre in the USA. So, talking about rock music, is it going well in general in the USA? How do you feel making it in the USA? And what do you think about the scene in general in the USA right now?
Yeah, it's interesting that you bring that up, because I definitely have pretty strong opinions about it.
That's perfect. That's perfect. That's exactly what we're searching here.
I mean, it's interesting because here in the U.S., to me, it seems like because this is a place of consumerism, if you will. Labels these days, a lot of the major stuff that's coming out, a lot of the pop music that's being presented, even a lot of the country music that's being presented, it's watered down for the most part. There's always going to be a few exceptions here and there, right?
Yeah.
It's watered down, or it's really dumbed down. And that's what's being kind of fed to the masses. So it's really unfortunate that what people are being exposed to is stuff that is just it's just not good. It's just not good music.
Okay.
And that's it, and call it a personal taste or whatever. But yeah. I mean, you know, when you got, let's put it this way, right? So. What was it? It was, I saw something on the internet the other day about how many writers it took to create one of Beyonce's songs. And there was something like, oh gosh, 7 or 8 of them, maybe even more than that. And if I remember correctly, like the majority of the lyrics were, it was just something very repetitive. I don't know if this is it, so don't quote me, but if it's single ladies, whatever. You got that, but then you got one guy who wrote Bohemian Rhapsody, and that was so deep, man. And it's So I'm definitely of that ilk who has some very strong beliefs and views on today's music, especially mm-hmm. here in the U.S. As far as rock music goes, as far as I'll put it this way, I'll even go even more broad. As far as any real, true, genuine, heartfelt music, really good music, it's out there. The unfortunate side is that you got to kind of sort through all of the stuff that's not so good to find the stuff that is good. So, you know, I guess the silver lining in that is when you find something that you really like, you might hold on to it a little bit more, a little bit closer to you, because, you know, it took that long to find it. So there is a little bit of positivity in there, but I do wish that, you know, the talent being a musician, playing your instruments, writing good songs, writing, you know, telling that story lyrically, the lyrics are important. I wish all of that would come back and really make a comeback and be exposed to not just the younger generation, but to everybody. Let them remember and let the younger generation learn.
Okay, I see. So, yeah, briefly before we go with the first song of yours, I wanted to ask you, yeah, you talked about making music you really feel, right, with the authentic emotions, you know, and really talking about yourself and your story and putting it to music, which maybe isn't something that popular music usually communicate to people, right? But do you think, well, don't quote me on that, of course, it's more like provocation, as I usually do, than my opinion. But do you feel like, you know, consumism, right, in general, making music just to earn money and, because you are maybe forced in making a product that isn't really about yourself, on your emotion or what you feel, but has only the purpose of earning money, you know, on
sure.
having visibility and all of that. Do you think that this problem of making music was not really felt and it's not really authentic in that sense has something to do with this new trend of appearance and only profit in the musical scene in general?
Sure. As long as there's been music, there's always been, you know, that somebody who wanted to monetize.
Yeah,
somebody
I agree.
That saw potential in earning there. And, you know, It's interesting because real artists approach this out of love and out of respect and out of creation, and it's a beautiful thing. So like the art form is definitely there, but when you start seeing, you know, people with dollar signs and they are wanting to monetize or they are wanting to make as much money as possible.
Yeah.
Right. It kind of loses its luster because a lot of times, like you were saying, a lot of modern music these days is, again, not good, but that's what's being force fed to everybody. Right. So if the labels or whoever it is that's kind of controlling that is seeing dollar signs, they're doing it to earn a buck and, you know, throw the art away. But here we are, you know, myself included and a lot of my peers who, this is what we do, this is who we are. And sometimes it's really, you know, it's really difficult to make, you know, a decent living doing something that we love when this is, you know, this is what's being fed to people. The other side of that, though, too, is with the advent of the internet and streaming and so on and so forth, you know, your tablets, your phones, your computers, all of that. We live in an age where people want instant gratification, right?
Yeah.
It's instant gratification. Attention spans are minimal. So if they don't like something, they'll just find something else. Or, you know, they don't even have to worry about it because this song sounds familiar. And that's kind of what a lot of these people are banking on, is that familiarity, or it sounds like everything else, or, you know, it's stuff like that. So again, true art these days is a little bit more difficult to come by. But again, as I stated earlier, if you can find that art, if you sort through all the garbage that's out there, you know, it's like a little treasure to you. And there's that silver lining. It's hope that it's a treasure, and you know, people will hold on to that a little tighter. Yeah. So it's an interesting time being a real artist out here.
Okay, yeah, that's an interesting opinion. It has something poetic, you know. There's something pretty poetic about this sentence you just said, and I think that's the perfect conclusion before launching the first song of the evening by Ken, which in this case is Alive.
Tell me not to love, but I want to. You tell me not to think, but I need to. You tell me not to try, but I have to. You tell me I'm not.
Bring us.
You are listening to MRG Broadcasting. MRG Broadcasting.
Welcome back to MRG. We're here with Ken. We just heard his first song live. So Ken, can you tell us something about the song we just heard? How it came to you, the idea of writing live? What is it about? And some other informations about the song.
Sure. So Alive came about. It was a little bit. If you listen to a lot of my other stuff, right? There's a lot of blues-based rock and roll.
Yeah.
This particular record and this particular song is actually, you know, straying away a little bit from that and actually just going full force, straight ahead, kick-ass rock and roll. And when I was writing it, there's definitely that there's an urgency to the song. The lyrics are kind of left up to the listener, because I think that it's, and it was done so with that intention. What it means to me may not mean the same to everybody else, but I think the reason why I say that is it's a call to action in a sense. It could be anti-establishment. It could be anti-bullying. It could be somebody that's going through a really rough time with their demons. It could be somebody that's dealing with a domestic abuse, stuff like that. But the song is about the fact that they're not alone. We're not alone, and you know, we're stronger together, right? So there's a lot of positivity in a song that feels very very angsty. So within that angst, there's hope. Right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it makes perfectly sense. It's, I think it's kind of an important topic to talk about in general in music, but, you know, artists, I hear for these two, especially for these, I'd say. Well, talking about your music and your releases, you just released, I think, a new rock record, which is Saints and Sinners, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, let's briefly talk about Saints and Sinners. You know, it was kind of interesting. In your biography, you defined it deep and personal, but a fun and wild ride. So
yes.
as I usually do, an image came in my mind after reading this. So this made me think about this question, which I think it is the best of the interview, I'd say, because I was really excited, you know, when this question came to my mind. I thought, well, this will be the masterpiece of the evening.
All right.
So yeah. What did you want to portray, to paint in the mind of a listener with your music in the case of Saints and Sinners? What image did you want to evoke in their mind?
Sure. Wow. Yeah, that is a good question. You know, it came about through a lot of experiences, right? The entire record is about experience. You know, and it came at a point in my life where there was, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times kind of thing. Yeah. So what I wanted to present, I guess, as a whole with this record, is that it really does capture the human emotion. Whether it be. You know, like we were talking about with Alive, right? There's that emotion of being better together, that positivity in there. Or you got something like Blaze, which is, it's about a good looking girl that I knew, you know, something like Dreams, which is about loss. So it really does run the gamut of emotions. It really does run through the human experience, and it's done so in a way musically that I think that I'm hoping people can kind of relate with. You know, it fits the song, it fits the message. I am a big believer of song is king, and melody makes the world go round. So, you know, there's big hooks, there's, you know, there's a lot of passion behind it. And that's the other thing. There's a lot of passion. There's a lot of emotion. There's a lot of depth there. And I guess that's kind of what I'm wanting to portray with this record is that passion, is that emotion, is that taking the listeners on a ride. You know, it was a fun and wild ride, you know, and throughout that ride, you know, we end up on quite the journey through life, you know, life's experiences. So that's kind of where I wanted to go with it. It just runs the gamut of emotions and the human condition.
Okay. So yeah, there's plenty of emotions for sure. And yeah, I hope the people will be able to relate to. But you know, I think music is a very powerful tool to do that in some sense. So yeah, you talked about the importance of melody, and you know, it came to my mind a consideration that that an Italian artist I interviewed yesterday said to me. Yeah, he said, I've made many experiences, you know, abroad and in Italy, making music live, having concerts and things like that. And I can say that in general, Anglo-Saxon people, you know, care more about the melody and the sound, and Italian and in general Spanish, French, Romance people, you know, pay more attention on the lyrics, you know, or what the lyrics have to say. And this just made me think about that. Of course, we can tell it's a general, you know, portray of the situation, because not everyone is the same in this sense, but I think that was kind of an interesting point of view.
Well, here's something for you on that, just to kind of expand a little bit.
Yeah,
you know, I'm Spanish, Mexican, and native here, and so I have the romantic side here. So
okay.
What's interesting is I am also a guitar player. This is what I do, right? You know, I'm a studio musician when I'm not working on my own stuff, and I help other people out. But what I kind of take a look at is I what I want to do musically for myself is create a landscape, right? So I talk about melody and I talk about that, but I'm also a guitar player. So it's like I want to create those licks, or to create those rhythms, and to create those beats that that move, you know, that do something. So I definitely see both sides to that, and try to, you know, incorporate that within my music.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, rhythm, of course, but melody and the lyrics are the I'd say the two most important things about a song, about music in general. So yeah, we all hope to develop both sides the best we can.
Sure.
To make the music more complete possible. So let's go with the second song, so we'll experience some more Can music. The second song is Make It.
Something on my mind.
it's right, because you and me is how it's supposed.
Welcome back to MRG. We are here with Ken. We're concluding. So, Ken, since we talked about live briefly, can you tell us something about Make It as well?
Sure. So, Make It came off of my record called Soul Renegade. And that particular song featured some of my favorite people. And again, was telling you that Minneapolis is just, you know, just full of amazing, talented folks, and I've been very fortunate to work with just incredible players. So on this particular song, we had some members of the whole Prince contingency. So we had St. Paul Peterson, who was on the bass on that song. And Paul was a part of The Time. So if you watch Purple Rain, he was in The Time. But this guy has gone on to play with everybody from Steve Miller to Peter Frampton to, you know, just so many wonderful people. He and I wrote this song, and I had a blast doing that one. It also features my big brother, Kevin B.F. Burt, playing some harmonica on there. I also have Michael Bland, who is Prince's drummer and is now the current drummer for Soul Asylum.
That's some big names right here.
Yeah, so I mean this particular song, and then Ricky Peterson, who was on there, and Ricky is the current keyboard player for Fleetwood Mac. So he's with Fleetwood Mac and Stevie Nicks, and he's played again with everybody, John Mayer to Prince to, I mean, you name it. So it really took on a life of the Minneapolis sound, but a very big, you know, funky, bluesy, raw approach. So it's not what you would necessarily find on the Saints and Sinners record, because that's very much a rock record. This is more on the blues rock side of things, so it was a little different. And again, the song is giving a glimmer of hope, especially within the confines of a relationship. If things are tough, if things are you know, going pretty difficult, you know, you have that positivity that, hey, we're going to make it. And again, it could be for a relationship, it could be for friendship, it could be for just whatever life is throwing at you. You know, you just one foot in front of the other, man. I'm pretty big on trying to stay on the positive side. I think there's a lot of, especially during this time, man, there's so much, you know, there's some negativity. And, yeah, you know, I could definitely dwell on that and I could write about it or whatever. But there's that part of me, and it's a very real thing. So I get it. I totally get it. However, there's that part of me that's like, you know, I just want to get away from the negativity, you know, myself. And I'm imagining that a lot of my listeners probably would want to stray away from that too. So, you know, I tend to try and be as optimistic and positive as possible. But yeah, that's what that song is about, man. It's a funky, rocking, you know, fun tune with some amazing heavy hitting players.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I could say that the style used is perfectly coherent with the intent of positivity, the purpose of positivity, and all things like that. Yeah, that makes perfectly sense. So, you know, I agree with I share too this urge of positivity and getting away with the negativity of those times. Yeah. Certainly something that can help me, and I think not only me in this sense. Yeah. So well, I think we are here. I really thank you, Ken, for your time and for all the experience you talked about, and your music, of course, bringing your music here with Radio J Up, giving us content. We hope to give back the favor, giving you a lot of new listeners from Italy too, but not only from Italy.
Oh man, I'm hoping soon enough that I get a chance to get out there and play for y'all. And I thank you so very much for having me on your show.
That would be great, Ken, really. So if you want to, if you want to tell us something about your social media profiles, you know, Instagram, or where we can find your music in general, YouTube, Spotify, where sure. Can we find you?
Well, the easiest way is to go to my website, which is kenvaldez.com, and you can find all of my links there. But yeah, I'm on Facebook, facebook.com/kenvaldezmusic, Instagram, my handle is kenvaldezmusic. I'm even venturing into the world of TikTok. Yikes. That's Ken Valdez Music. But all of those things, Spotify links, Apple Music links, whatever it is, it's all on my website. So go there, kenvaldez.com, and that's the easiest place to go and find me and where I'm at.
Okay, so you have your listeners have hold the open doors to find Ken in every social. So guys, I thank again Ken for being here with us, for spending some time with us and with everybody else. We'll see you in the next episode of Emergy. Goodbye.
J-Up vi ha presentato Emergy Broadcasting. Emergy Broadcasting.